So often we're like the story of the lepers. Lord, you healed 10, but only one stopped to give thanks. Father, I'm not sure really when the last time is we've just stopped and blessed you for all of your goodness towards us, for all of your loving kindness, for all of your sustaining grace, for all of your forgiveness, for all the times that you are faithful when we are faithless. Father, your love towards us is irrevocable. It's unchanging. Father, that should stir up and well up in our hearts an overwhelming sense of blessing and praise and celebration and ascribing of worth and honor to you, O Lord. Father, may our soul truly bless you. May we be found faithful in such acts of worship. Today, Father, use this time to construct your people, to mold us, to chisel away the things that don't need to be on us, to be in us, to be a part of us. Continue to make us a bride that's holy and pure for you. We pray through Christ. Amen. Over the last few months, we've been working through the Gospel of Luke. If you've been here with us, you know that's been our subject. And the whole desire is that as we look at the Gospel of Luke, that we who claim to be believers in Christ would grow in our love for Him and our affection, that we would truly know Him, we would know His words, and we would be like the early disciples. We would be in awe of what He did and what He is still doing around us. But a couple of weeks ago, with the whole issue that surrounded the Boy Scouts and then Chick-fil-A and other things, we've taken a couple of weeks to look at this issue of dealing with holiness. And you remember the few weeks back, we said in order to be effective witnesses, if we're going to really engage the society in which we live, we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ must be pursuing personal holiness. If we're not doing that, we'll be ineffective in our witness, and the world will look at us and say, "You're hypocrites, because you're telling me to do one thing, but you yourself are not doing something else that the Scripture, you're picking and choosing." So we talked about looking at our own hearts and our own lives, and were we truly pursuing God's holiness? And last week we looked at the issue of, if we're going to pursue holiness, you have to understand the foundation of our holiness is found in our Creator, who Himself is holy. And His holiness is both the source of our condemnation, right? Sinful people cannot stand in the presence of a holy God. Every one of us have fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But God's holiness is also the source of our redemption. Because God is holy, He sent Christ in order to make us holy. By bearing our sins, by dying in our place, by being able to give to us Christ's righteousness. So today, our desire is to look at this issue more in regards to us and what is going on in this idea of pursuing after holiness. If you have a bulletin, you can follow along. There will be a PowerPoint. You can take some notes if you're interested. But the idea for us is this struggle that we find ourselves in, this already not yet tension regarding the reality of our sanctification. Now, let me see if I can explain that to you by giving you an example. All right? Every example falls apart when pushed, but I think this is a generally a good illustration of the already not yet tension that so often is found in Christianity. If we believe the Scriptures, when does life begin? Conception. Therefore, a woman, theoretically, is a mother when she conceives, is she not? Growing inside of her is a child, a living being. But for many of us, we don't consider her a mother until she actually delivers the child. There's this already not yet tension, right? I mean, she is a mother. There's this growing child in her. She is a mother, created a child in her womb. And yet, not until that baby comes is it really when we would say mother and child, that sort of thing, right? There's this tension there. And that's what we see in our Christianity, and it's what we see with regard especially to sanctification or the idea of holiness. So let's see, with that idea, that picture in mind of this already not yet, let's see if we can first define sanctification. A basic definition would be something like this. It's a lifelong process where we seek to put off sin and we strive or pursue holiness. That's what sanctification is. Becoming more like Christ. Right? That idea of sanctifying in the New Testament has the idea of making something clean, becoming holy, becoming morally superior, being free from sin to sanctify. Right? So, give me the opportunity to talk about some theology here for a minute as we press on. When we're saved, two different things occur. One, there's this word called justification, right? Justification is a legal declaration by God regarding our standing before Him. At one point, we're enemies, but when we have faith in Christ, He declares us not guilty. Hallelujah, right? I'm not guilty before the Holy God. It's like, think you see time and again, people standing in a courtroom and standing and the jury gives them a sentence of guilty or not guilty. That's what's going on. Now, whether or not they're truly guilty doesn't matter. What matters is what is declared. And we're declared not guilty because of Christ. That's justification. It's instantaneous. It's one time. It lasts forever. It doesn't change. God doesn't go back and say, oh, well, now you're not justified. On the other side of that equation is sanctification. Sanctification is this internal condition that's going on in us. It's progressive. By that meaning, you'll find there's stages that we walk through in our Christian faith. And unlike justification, every one of you who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are declared just. There is no longer any condemnation, right? But in sanctification, there are different aspects. Some of us are further down the road of our sanctification than others. Some of us are pursuing Christ's likeness with more vigor, more passion, more intentionality than others. Some people are, let's be honest, more holy than others. And not a holy to be boastful or arrogant, but pursuing Christ, right? The words we often use is, well, they're a carnal Christian, right? You hear people say they've backslidden. Somebody else says they're on fire for the Lord, right? I mean, you see those are the different dynamics. So sanctification is something that is always ongoing in us. And in order to look at this morning, instead of just working through one passage like we usually do, I'm going to try to look at it from a big perspective. So, we said there's stages. So let's walk through the stages. Three stages you see. First, it begins, our sanctification begins at our salvation. Right? I mean, think about it for a minute. What happens? When we turn to Christ, what God does is He takes all of our sinfulness and He places them on whom? On Christ. And He does what? Christ perfectly obeyed the law, and what God does is He takes that righteous obedience and He gives it to our account. Right? It's like Christ earned a $1 million contract and it gets put in our bank account. We didn't earn it. But it's ours. We're millionaires, right? Because of Christ, to use this money terminology. So when we turn to Christ, we are declared holy because we have His holiness given to us. That's why when you read the New Testament, what are Christians often called? Holy ones. Saints. Why? Not saints in the form of like a Catholic saint where you would think that they're, you know, venerated and they do special things. No, just a holy one, somebody who is set apart. The reason the New Testament calls us that is because of what Christ has done and it being given to us. And the amazing thing is, often that word is used for really bad Christians. When you read the letter to the Corinthians, in my Sunday school class a couple years ago, went through Corinthians, bad church, all kinds of issues going on. The very beginning of that book, chapter 1, verse 2, Paul calls them saints. Because they're believers, therefore they are in Christ having His righteousness. There's a past tense element. We are holy. We are sanctified because of Christ's work for us. Okay, I told you we're going to look at different passages, so get your Bible and we're going to flip around. If you don't have a Bible, you can use one in front of you or you can just write them down and go back and look. But the past tense element, something that has already happened in us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 9. First Corinthians 6, beginning in verse 9, says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" Look, again, some of you, maybe you're guests with us today, you have different perspectives. For me, for us as a church, we believe the Bible is the authority of God. What it speaks is true, and where we disagree with what the Bible says, the problem is us, not the Scriptures. And here's what it says, right? "Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor..." You see, we get stuck on homosexuality, but there's a big list of things. Right? "Nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." But here's our point, verse 11. "And such..." What? "Were." That's a past tense. "Such were some of you, but you were washed." You what? "Were sanctified." It's a past tense event. It's something that has already happened. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Showing us it doesn't matter who we were, the gospel was able to impact our hearts, changing us. By faith in Christ, we've been declared just and we've been given Christ's righteousness. Therefore, we are holy ones. It has begun in us. Moreover, when you look at the Bible, when we come to faith in Christ, it says we've been set free from what? From sin. From the power of the evil one, right? Before we knew Christ, we were under His authority, we were doing the things, following after His schemes, blinded to the gospel. But now, as Romans chapter 6 says, we're no longer slaves to sin. We've been set free. We're no longer captives. Amen. Right? Come on. Listen. That should make you excited. No longer am I bound to continue to be involved in sin, but I am pursuing a new life. Look over at Romans chapter 6. I'm going to have to speed you up because we have some more passages. Romans chapter 6, maybe if we speed you up, it'll warm you up. It's talking about just if we're in Christ, we've died with Him, we've been raised with Him, right? Verse 12, even verse 11. "So, you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but grace. And then he goes on and says, so should we continue in sin so that God may receive glory? No. What he's saying there is, look, you've been purchased. You're holy people. You, for the first time in your life, are able to not sin. Therefore, move in that direction, right? Sanctification begins when we turn to Christ. But second, it increases throughout our life. Remember I said it's progressive. Unlike justification, which is once for all, instantaneous, we're the same amount of justified when we first come to faith as we are 10,000 years later. Same amount of justification. But sanctification is growing. Like that little baby in the mother's womb, she's pregnant at conception, but that baby's what? It's growing. Right? It's getting bigger. Sanctification should be growing in us, getting bigger in our lives. As we grow as Christians, so should our sanctification, so should our holiness. Just think about this for a minute. What caused us to stumble when we first became Christians, hopefully 10 years down the line, is still not causing us to stumble, right? You're putting it off. You've been a believer a month, 2 months. Yeah, those things are still there in your life. But as you're pursuing the Word of God and you're growing and trying to be like Christ, you're not falling. And maybe you still struggle with it, but not as much. You're not doing it as often. Like a child learns to obey their parent, we also, as we grow, we learn to obey God. We learn to live for Him. We learn to put off sin, the old ways of life. But because it's progressive, meaning it's moving, it's more like a roller coaster than it is a straight 45, 55, 60, 90 degree angle. Nobody moves in that direction. What you find is you're moving, but then you have a dip. Maybe you're not living for the Lord for a while. Maybe it's a stressful time in your life. Maybe you're mad and you're bitter, right? But then you come up out of it and you start growing. So it's just kind of this. But the hope is the dip here, the next time you dip, is not as far as the previous dip. That you are growing in your Christ likeness. We're progressing towards a goal. All right. Got to go fast. 1 Timothy chapter 4. See, I could make these all a bunch of sermons, but the staff was telling me I need to pick it up, so I'm going to do them all in one sermon. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. If you put these things before the brothers, you'll be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourselves for godliness. How apropos for the Olympics, right? Train yourself for holiness. And he says, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, because it holds a promise both in this life and the life to come. Verse 15, same chapter. Practice these things. Devote yourself to them so that all may see your what? Progress. Everybody that knows you will say, they're growing, they're maturing, they're becoming more like Christ. They're progressing. Keep a close watch on yourself and on your teaching. Persist in this, and for by doing so, you will save others, both yourselves and your hearers. Jump back to Philippians chapter 3. Paul says these words, Philippians 3, verse 12 through 14. Not that I've already obtained this, or I'm already being made perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. He's saying, not that I'm perfect, not that I do everything right, but I'm moving forward. I'm striving towards the gospel call of a holy life, because Christ has made me His. Brothers, verse 13, I don't consider that I've already made it my own, but the one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward. You see, sanctification's hard. It's hard. Because all around us, people are sinning. All around us, we're bombarded with temptations to sin. And the desire to live a holy life is tough. It's a challenge. Students, it's going to be very challenging for you to go back to school and be holy. It's easy to do it at camp when you got 1,000 kids around you all praising Jesus. But when you go back to school and you got 3,000 kids around you all mocking Jesus with their attitudes and their actions and their clothes, then it's really hard, right? The temptation comes and you want to do what? I want to be cool. I want to hang out. I want to be like them. If you really want to pursue Christ, you got to strain, press ahead. I'm not going to do this because the goal of being Christ-like to me is more valuable than the goal of being friends. I've shared this before, but I want you to hear it again. Look, you know Jonathan and I went to high school together and all that kind of stuff. And Facebook's amazing now because you see people, right? The people that you think are so important right now at school, you think are so cool. 10 years from now, they're probably still going to be doing the same things. And they're not that cool anymore. And it's a shame for us to give of ourselves and to contaminate our lives with things of the world in order to be liked by people who really aren't that important. Right, adults? Now what happens? So the challenge for you in 3 weeks is, man, is Christ my all in all? Am I really going to strain, press ahead towards that goal of living for Christ? Right? For all of us. We're not there yet, but we're trying. That's why in Hebrews it says, lay aside all of the sin which so easily encumbers us. It's progressive. We're not there yet. But the third stage is this. It will be completed, but only when we die. Good news, though. It is good news. There is a day coming when I will no longer stress and have sinful problems. The day when I see my Savior, right? It's the day when He calls me into His presence. That battle gloriously ends when He says, come home, faithful servant. The reason for that is because when we enter into His presence, we're given new bodies. These old bodies, they stay in the ground. They rot, they decay, they go away. What's it say though, right? We'll be given new bodies, glorified bodies, bodies which are not given over to sin, bodies which don't desire the things of this world, heavenly bodies which have a heavenly desire. So the day's coming when we not just won't desire sin, we won't sin. No more cancers, no more sickness, no more lust, no more pride, no more boasting, no more any of the things that we struggle with. No more consequences for sin, just holiness totally complete. So what begins in our salvation, which is progressing all throughout our life, will eventually be completed, but only when we die. Which is the next point, in that as much as we strive, our sanctification will never be completed in this body. While we should strive every day to be holy, we will fail every day. Anybody want to raise their hand and say they did not sin yesterday? Anybody? We all do, right? As much as we don't want to, even Paul says, I don't do the things I want to do. I still struggle. And for any of us to think, yeah, I didn't sin yesterday, that's pride and you just did it right now. Right? Yeah, you may not have done something bad. And see, the thing is, as we grow in our Christianity, our sin doesn't often manifest itself in our actions, but it manifests itself in our hearts. We're just mature enough that we don't act on it, but we think it. Right? We're not as quick to speak those harsh words, but we're thinking them. And Jesus says, if you've thought it in your heart, it's as if you've done it. That's why in the Lord's Prayer it says, forgive us this day our debts. Jesus taught us that every day we're going to struggle. However, just because we're still in the flesh, and just because we won't be perfect in this life, it does not give us the right to say, well, then I don't have to worry about it. I can just sin. Because if I'm never going to be perfect, well, then what's the reason to try to be perfect at all? You see how people can go that way? Well, if I'm not going to make 100 on the test, why even study? The Bible doesn't say we can ignore sin in our life. It doesn't say we can continue to sin and just say, well, that's just because I'm in the flesh. What the Bible does tell us is we can never quit fighting, nor can we say we've reached total perfection. What it tells us is to every day to strive for holiness. Today the goal is, look, I want to be holy. Not to be boastful, prideful, arrogant. I want to be holy because it honors the Lord. And when I blow it, Lord, forgive me. Get me back on the track. Let me pursue righteousness. The good example that you can go back and read on your own is Romans 7. In that chapter, Paul, he struggles. He's like, I don't do the things I want to do, and I do the things I know I shouldn't do. My heart wants to do one thing, but my flesh does the other. Our hope is this. Man, Lord, okay, I blew it again. Give me strength not to do it again. Right? That's our hope. Four, then, who is involved in our sanctification? Who's involved making us holy? Well, one, most notably, it's God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says this, "Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely." God is sanctifying us completely. "And may our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord." All right? Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. God is at work in us to do what is right. Do you know that? God is at work in your life. You don't know that. Look over there. Philippians chapter 2. Look what it says. Hurry. I can tell by your looking at me you don't. Philippians chapter 2. It's a glorious passage because it holds us accountable, and yet it says God's at work in us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. "Therefore, my beloved, therefore, saints of the living God, therefore, holy ones," right? "As you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence," don't just do what the right things when I'm around you, but do them all the time, "work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Doesn't mean you work to earn your salvation. He's saying this. You've been saved, therefore be at work, involved in it, living up to the name that you've been called. Christian, Christ-like, follower of Jesus, right? Do it with fear and trembling. "For it is God who works in you, both to will," to want to do it, right? "And to work for His good pleasure." God is at work in us to be holy, to do His will. Philippians 1:6. "He who began a good work in you will be" what? "Faithful to bring it to completion." God, who's begun that work of sanctification, will be faithful to bring it to completion in us. How? How does God at work in us? One, He gives us the Holy Spirit, right? And that while we have the Holy Spirit as believers, yeah, to be a presence in us, and so we're not orphans, but the Holy Spirit does what to us who are believers in Christ? It leads us, directs us, it gives us wisdom, it gives us a conscience, right? I mean, you that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know when you're about to do something wrong, right? There's that still small spirit that wells up in you that says what? Brings a scripture to mind. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God at work in you to be holy. Now what happens? Well, sometimes we obey, sometimes we choose to do otherwise, right? That's that process of sanctification. But God is at work in us through His Holy Spirit, but He's also at work in us through discipline, right? The thing we don't like, but the Bible tells us God does discipline. He disciplines His church. He disciplines His children like a father disciplines their son. Not in painful ways to be mean, but for our good. God doesn't want us to continue in sin, and sometimes He does bring discipline upon us in order to get us back on the right track. Just as a parent would discipline their children to get them back on the right track. God is at work in us. But also, we are at work. Our responsibility is to put off sin, to obey the Holy Spirit, to respond to the discipline that He brings in our life. It's our responsibility to know the Word, to do what the Word says. It's our responsibility to pray for holiness. Right? God, today, help me to walk in Your ways. Help me to turn away from sin. Isn't that what we say? Lead us not into temptation. It's there in the Lord's Prayer. We can't just say, well, God's at work in my life. He's doing it. We too have an active role in pursuing holiness. This is why, listen, we're almost done, church. I know you're ready. This is why some of us are further down the road than others. Right? Because some of us are more serious in pursuing holiness than others. Some of us are really seeking after God and saying, I don't want to live in sin today. And some of us are saying, I'm secure. I know I believe in Christ, so I'm just going to do really what I want. Because that girl's really hot, or because that guy's really important, or because that job is really important, or because my spouse and my family would be devastated. Whatever the issue is that we put up. The more that we obey the Holy Spirit that's at work in us, the more that we allow the Word to be invested in our lives, the more we obey the Word, the more we're going to be like Christ. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to Your Word. I've hidden Your Word in my heart so that I may not sin against God. The reason that we do Scripture memory, or should do Scripture memory, is not just to like keep us fresh so we don't get Alzheimer's. It is so when sin comes our way, we have Scripture to help battle so that we do not sin against God. So when we as a people are not in the Word for large periods of time, days, weeks, months, you can see how sin starts to rear its head in our lives. So God has a part. He's given us the Holy Spirit. Is at work in us? We have a responsibility. We have a part. Last then, what happens? What does sanctification impact? Well, one, it impacts our heart. The heart is our big issue, isn't it? Isn't that what Jesus says? For out of the heart come evil thoughts. That's where all the bad things happen. That's why Jesus says you need a new heart. I'll take that heart of stone, I'll give you a heart of flesh. Our heart is what causes us to do the things that we do. So on our sanctification, our heart is transformed. Hopefully what's happening is it no longer longs after sin, but instead it longs to be like Christ. That's why we see, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. That's why I'm not on the praise team, right? But you get it. Create in me a new heart, a clean heart. It was a little high. It was out of my range. Give me a new heart. But when we get a new heart, then it also impacts our actions. How do you know that somebody's truly saved? Right? Isn't that what it says? You'll know them by their fruit. We can say that we believe in Jesus, but if we truly are connected to the vine, we'll do what? We'll bear fruit. We'll bear fruit. Not every tree bears the same amount of oranges, mangoes, but it should be bearing something. And to say you're a believer in Christ and to see no fruit should give you great cause for alarm. Out of our heart will then impact our actions. If I'm living for the Lord and I love the Lord and I want to do the right thing, then I'm not going to do those sins which I was originally or formerly pursuing. You see? Whew, that's a lot of stuff. Justification is what God does in us. Sanctification is what He is doing in us and what we are doing for Him. So my question for you this morning is twofold. For some of you, one, are you sanctified at all? Have you even begun this process? Do you know Christ? Has Christ's righteousness been given to you? Are you trusting in your own good works? You see, God doesn't look at those works and say, well, good job. He looks at those works and he says they come from evil hearts and they are filthy. Your works don't save you. Faith in my Son saves you. And some of you, you need to realize that. You just think you're okay with God because you do good things. What God says is, no, you need to be born again by believing in my Son and doing what Taylor did today, following up with baptism and giving a visible sign of a changed life. Others of you in this room, us, me, we need to say, God, where are we in our sanctification process? How serious am I in pursuing holiness? Have I been playing around with it? I act one way at church or at youth group, but then at school and in life, I'm totally different. Or am I the same? Am I living sold out for you? Are there things in your life, things in my life, that we need to lay at the cross today and say, Jesus, I need to get rid of these because they are unbecoming of those of us who claim the name of Christ? I'm going to pray, and then here in a moment, the deacons will, some of them will be around the room. Jonathan will be up here. I'll be here. Maybe you want to come and pray at the altar, pray about some of this stuff. Maybe you just want to pray where you're at. But as our team leads us in a song of response, I want to challenge us. Say, Lord, show me my heart. Where am I? How am I doing in this process of being like Christ? Do I even know Christ? And may you be brave enough to respond in obedience today. Father, I pray that your people who are called by your name will turn away from sin and pursue righteousness. Lord, the gospel is at stake. So, Lord, for us, may we pursue holiness with great vigor. May we bear lots of fruit. Not that others may see our fruit, but that Christ would be glorified. And Lord, in this room today, there may be some things we just need to lay down. And today, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would give us the power and the ability and the desire to lay them at the feet of the cross, to move on, to move forward, to put to death those things. And Lord, even now, may your Holy Spirit move and work in those who need Christ, who need Him for the first time to be saved. Holy Spirit, come, move, work, convict, illuminate, regenerate, do the work that needs to be done in this room today. We pray through Christ. Amen.